We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Greg Stone starts a new series on a man's legacy as a husband, a father, and in the kingdom. Greg Stone is a pastor of Jewish ministries at Gateway Church and is a husband and father. Let's listen in.
Hey, friend. My name is Greg Stone, and I get to serve here as the Jewish pastor at Gateway Church. If you don't know me, by way of introduction, I am Jewish. I came to faith in Jesus, in Yeshua, in 1982. I've been walking with the Lord for 38 years and pastoring since 1993. I grew up in the heart of American Judaism in the suburbs of New York City. I was bar mitzvah just before I turned 13 years old. If you don't know what the word bar mitzvah means, it means to be a son of the commandment. So the bar mitzvah is the Jewish way of declaring our sons to be men. The rabbi who bar mitzvahed me was actually the vice president of the World Jewish Council. I did graduate from Hebrew High School, been married for, like I said, nearly 38 years, and I'm the father of five and the grandfather of 12. I'd like to talk with you today about legacy, about what we're leaving behind. Now, usually when we think about legacy, we're thinking about money, but I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about something far more basic. Dictionary.com says that one of the definitions of legacy is anything handed down from the past. Jewish people have a tradition that captures an aspect of legacy that is apart from money. An ethical will is a document that passes ethical values from one generation to the next. About the year 1050 AD, ethical wills became far more prominent in Judaism. But the original idea of an ethical will can be seen as early as Genesis 49, where Jacob is dying, and he gathers his sons around to offer them his blessing, and he asks that they don't bury him in Egypt. Instead, they were to bury him in the promised land with his ancestors. He was telling something about what's important to him as a man, my ancestors, and the promised land that God's given us. We can also see an example of ethical wills in Deuteronomy 32, where Moses tells the Israelites to be a holy people and to teach their children. I actually have a large book in my library that's called Hebrew Ethical Wills. It's just a collection of these ethical wills. For example, in one of these ethical wills, a father tells his son, "Son, your wife is a good woman. Make sure you treat her well." And what strikes me about this is that the father then just goes on to explain many of the reasons that his daughter-in-law is a good woman. Now, friend, that's an ethical will. It's not about money. We're all thankful for money. But I'm talking about an aspect of legacy that is far more valuable than money. Men, what are we leaving behind? What will be our legacy? So God willing, in these three blogs, I want to talk with you about three aspects of legacy. The legacy of your marriage, the legacy of you'll give your children, and the legacy you'll leave in the kingdom. First of all, marriage today. Now this is hugely significant because the average woman is going to live, well, about 5 years longer than the average man. So after you pass, when your wife is looking in your casket, what is she going to think? What will be your legacy? And way before then, throughout the rest of your life, when your kids think about you, they're going to think about the way that you have treated their mother. What is your legacy? Now, let me be clear on this. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. You may have been divorced. You may have several divorces. But what really matters is how you move forward from here. David said in Psalms 130, verses 3 and 4, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness, and with that there's reverence, and so we serve you." In James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." You see, friend, God will give you wisdom without finding fault, if you just ask him. He will simply tell you, "Since you asked me, this is where you need to move forward from where you're at. Just this is it. This is what you're to do." Now, when I was a young believer, I remember at one point I was frustrated because I could see that I was constantly failing, constantly falling short of what I really needed to be. And so I actually prayed, this is dumb, but I prayed this, Lord, I'm so tired of messing up and people see it and I'm a bad witness. And so I said, Lord, would you make me like a robot? That way I'll just always do your will. And I distinctly remember God's answer. He said, Greg, if I made you like a robot, no one would see you grow. People need to see you grow. Friend, we're all sinners. We all fall short. One of our greatest areas of legacy that we can and will leave behind is when we show other people that we are growing. Men, let's grow. I recently heard Pastor Jimmy Evans talk about marriage. And Don and I have been married for nearly 38 years, and many times, honestly, I've thought I'm a pretty good husband. But after Jimmy was done talking about how we need to serve our spouses, I actually thought to myself, wow, I'm not nearly as good as I thought I was. Men, no matter how long you've been married, no matter if you've been divorced or not, no matter how many times you've been divorced, you can start to treat your wife, you can treat your ex like you should. We can all, including me, grow up. We can all do better. Now, one of my favorite marriage verses is Galatians 3:28. You wouldn't think this is about marriage, but it is. It says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. Now, that's part of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote probably about the year 55 AD. Imagine that a man read that letter by Paul in that year. Imagine he got saved reading the letter. So he went from being a man without Jesus to being a man with Jesus. But the next day that man woke up and you know what? He was still a man. He had not lost his masculinity. He didn't wake up as a woman. He didn't wake up as a person without gender. At the DNA level, he's still a man. There's neither male nor female. On Judgment Day, my friend, I'm not going to have to give account for how I was as a woman. I'm not going to have to give account for the kind of mother I was, but I will have to give account for the kind of husband that I've been. I will have to give account for the kind of father that I've been, for the kind of grandfather that I am. So there's four things I want to share with you, 4 points that will determine your legacy as a husband. Number one, lead from the heart. Treat your wife right from the heart. Ephesians 6:6 tells us to do the will of God from the heart. Now, there's a difference between doing the right thing for the right reason and doing the right thing because you have the right heart. God has always cared about the heart. Think about the Ten Commandments. Number 7 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 10 says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Now, if I actually touch my neighbor's wife, I've broken the 7th commandment. But if I never actually touch my neighbor's wife, and I only want to, I have not broken the 7th commandment. I have broken the 10th commandment. I have coveted her. Or think about the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. Number 10 says, don't covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, if I steal my neighbor's money, I've broken the 8th commandment. But if I never steal his money, if I only want to, I have not broken the 8th commandment. I have broken the 10th commandment. As soon as I sin with my hands, I have gone beyond the 10th commandment and I have violated the 7th commandment or the 8th commandment or some other commandment. In other words, the 10th commandment is only about the heart. The 10 commandments push to the heart. God has always cared about the heart. When we understand the difference between the hand and the heart, we can begin to understand the difference between legalism and devotion. Look at it like this. Imagine that we ask two men, why are you faithful to your wife? And one man says, well, of course I'm going to be faithful to my wife. It's the right thing to do. That's legalism, friend. The other man answers, what are you talking about? I love my wife. I'm devoted to her. Of course I'm going to be faithful to her. Now, both men are faithful. Thank God for both men. But that second man understands something about devotion. He has it in his heart. It's not just in his behavior. Again, there's a difference between doing the right thing for the right reason and doing the right thing because you have it in your heart. So if you want to have a good legacy in your marriage, the first thing you need to do is to lead from the heart. The second thing you need to do is you need to own your heart. Don't wait to think to do right until you think that your heart is right toward your wife. You see, you have control over your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." If you think your heart is not right about something, then just make a decision to change your heart and make that decision now. And do the right thing right now from a right heart. You have the power to change your heart like that. The Bible commands us to. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God, help me have the right heart on this. Treat your wife or treat your ex right, and do it now, and do it from the heart. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to apologize, apologize. When you do this, it will change your legacy because everyone you know will see it. And if it's a new behavior, because you've repented, your legacy will be one of growth and repentance. Your kids will see it. Your whole world will see it. It may take a while before it's recognized, but eventually it will be seen. So if you want a good legacy in your marriage, first of all, lead from the heart. Second, own your heart. If your heart needs to be adjusted, change it and change it now. Pray, God help me. And then do it. Third, have an understanding heart. Don't expect your wife or your ex to act like you do. As men, we're called to be the leaders of the family. That means that we have to do some things before the followers do it. And sometimes we have to do it for a long time before our followers do it, especially if we've sowed a lot of bad seed. Friend, we're called to leadership. And there are some things that our wives will never do. We need to understand this. They're women. They're not men. I don't want my wife to be a man. I want her to be a woman. And she doesn't want me to be a woman. She wants me to be a man. And I want my wife to celebrate her femininity in front of me. And she wants me to celebrate my masculinity in front of her. If you're going to have an understanding heart, you're going to have a considerate heart. Most of us are very familiar with what Ephesians chapter 5 says about marriage. But we may not have noticed that the passage on marriage uses two different words when describing marriage. One of the words that we see throughout Ephesians 5 is the word body. And the other word that we see in the chapter is the word flesh. They are different words. In Ephesians 5, verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Ephesians 5, 31, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So bodies and flesh. In Ephesians 5, 28, we got the word bodies. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. The word for bodies means bodies. The actual Greek word is soma. It's the root of the English word somatic. It actually means the physical body. We are to love our wives as though their body were ours. We ought to take care of all of their bodily needs. The word in Ephesians 5:31 is a different word, though. For the word for flesh, it is the word sarx. A man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. One sarx, the word for flesh, is not the word for body. It is a word that refers to the desires. So, like, for example, this is the word in Galatians 5 when it describes the works of the flesh. It's when we're living out of our own selfish desires. But a husband and a wife are to become one flesh. In other words, we are to become one desire. We are to be concerned about more than our wife's body. We are to be concerned about our wife's flesh about their desires. No one ever yet hated his own flesh, Ephesians 5:29 says. The Bible says that no one ever yet hated his own flesh because no one ever yet hated his own desires. The very fact that we have a desire means we're attracted to something. We all love every one of our desires. But we all have things about our bodies that we hate. I'm too short. I'm too weak. I could go on. But there's no desires I have that I hate. I love all my desires. Sometimes that's a problem. The Bible says that we're to love our wives as though their body were our body. In other words, we should care for their physical well-being. Care for their physical well-being the same way we'd want our physical well-being cared for. But the Bible never says that husbands and wives become one body. It says we become one flesh. My wife will always have a distinct body from my body. But the Bible does say that God wants us to become one flesh. We become one desire. Now, this is most evidently celebrated in the sexual relationship, but it's much bigger than sex. Let me give you an example of the time when I actually caught it. I have a son who at the time was 17 years old. He's a little man. There was a bodybuilder guy in the church who was quite big, and he thought that my son, 17-year-old, had hurt his son. He's like 35 at the time. He thought he was wrong. He repented. My son was nowhere near the event that happened, but he thought that my son had hurt his son, and he actually hit my son. He hit a minor, hurt my son. Well, that night, Donna and I, my wife and I, are in the bedroom, and she is seated on the side of the bed, and she is crying. And I am so upset. I'm standing next to the bed, and I am fuming. And all of a sudden, it hit me. And I looked at Donna, and I said, "Donna, I am so sorry." I said, I just want you to know right now, I am so angry. But I want you to know, I think my anger is bruising you, but I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at the same thing that you're hurt over. I'm just showing it different. I'm not angry at you, but I am really angry." I was. You see, we were one flesh. We cared about the same thing. We just showed it differently. Someone compliments my wife, I take joy in that. Someone compliments me, my wife takes joy in that. We are one flesh. We are one desire. So if you want a good legacy in your marriage, first of all, you've got to lead from the heart. Second, you've got to own your heart. Third, you've got to have an understanding heart. Don't expect your wife to act like you do. And this will help you to be remembered as a man with a tender heart. Finally, number four, have a humble heart. You see, God is going to treat you similarly to how you treat your wife. The way we treat our wives has a lot to say about the way God treats us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, "Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessels, and heirs together of the grace of life, so that your prayers be not hindered." Basically, God's saying this: if you don't treat your wife right, I won't treat you the way you want to be treated. And the way we treat our spouses becomes a ceiling even on our prayer life. Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding so that your prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. When we treat the women in our lives right, God treats us differently. And God is actually able to pick up the pieces of our shattered mistakes. In other words, God's able to change our legacy. The Lord makes that point for us in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 is the chapter in the Bible that's most about fasting. He's describing when we have the kind of fast that pleases him. And he says, when we do that, he says, "Your righteousness shall go before you." In other words, your future will be different. But then he says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." Now, Isaiah 58:8 doesn't just say that God will change your future, but it actually says he's going to be your rear guard. The Hebrew phrase for rear guard actually means that God will pick up the shattered pieces. Now, we all know what it's like to leave a mess behind us. That's our legacy. But God says, when you do this, I'll fix your legacy. I will pick up the shattered pieces. Some of us need to fast and pray for our wives. Friend, how we treat our spouse and the women of our lives will determine a lot of things about the legacy that we leave behind. And when we're laying in our casket and our children reflect on, they're going to reflect on how we treated their mother. They will certainly reflect on if we grew in this. And you can make it a lifelong goal to grow in your legacy as a husband. When I was growing up, my parents would sometimes compliment a man by saying, "That guy's a real mensch." Mensch is a Yiddish word that Jews use to describe a man who has a noble character. He's a man who has a sense of what is right. He is a responsible man. He's a man who has the character of not a boy, but a man's man. He's a mensch. And that's the legacy I want, and I think that's the legacy you want. Well, friend, it's been great talking with you today, but let's just close in prayer. Lord, I know that I have not always done well, and I want to do better, and I need your help. I need your help with both my hand and my heart. I want to lead the way you want me to lead. I want to be the man you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.